May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Those ancient words, written in Greek 2,000 years ago, have been translated into hundreds of languages and read especially at Christmas in countless churches around the world over the centuries. What do they say to us today? The Word became flesh. But what Word is this that became flesh? Well, earlier the same reading tells us, this is the Word that was in the beginning, the Word that was with God, the Word that was God. We need words to convey our meaning, to relate to others. If I speak no word, how can you know me? If God speaks no word, how can we know God? How can we know what God is about? But God has spoken and does speak because there is word in God. From the beginning, God was always a God with word, a God ready to speak, to go beyond himself, to relate to others. In fact, and here God is just a little bit different from you and me, God's word does not only reach out to others. God's word creates. God's word brings all other reality into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God's word creates the world and continues to speak into the world. From the beginning, there was always word in God, and God continues to speak and to relate to all that God has made. Now, God has spoken into the world in many and various ways, but God's supreme act of communication was when his word became flesh. The flesh of a child born in Bethlehem, growing up as Jesus of Nazareth. The story is so familiar that it's good to think how different it might have been. How might God's word have come into the world? What would we have suggested? Or perhaps God's word should have come as an unmistakable message printed on the skies for the whole world to see. Or as a perfect document translated into every language, delivered by trustworthy diplomats to every political authority of the world. Or perhaps as a secret spiritual message conveyed directly to each of us individually, hidden deep in our hearts. How does God's word come? Perhaps we can think of many other ways God's word would come to us, but the message of Christmas interrupts our speculation to tell us that God's word became flesh. Flesh, a human life, was how God chose to communicate. In Jesus Christ, God's word became flesh and lived among us. God didn't shout from a distance. Instead, God became one of us. It wasn't just for a weekend full of high-profile interviews and then off again. No, God lived among us. God lived a human life from beginning to end, accepting the joys and pains of human living and dying. And many other stories echo this story of God coming to live among us. Stories of kings or princes disguising themselves and living for a while incognito among their people. You may remember the scene in Shakespeare's play where King Henry V disguises himself on the night before the Battle of Agincourt and walks around the camp speaking to his soldiers, encouraging them, lifting their spirits. Kenneth Branagh's performance comes to my mind. If the king had walked among them in his royal robes, They'd have felt overwhelmed, awkward. They would have been unable to hear his message. But the king who comes among them incognito, dressed as they are, this king wins their hearts and leads them to victory. Turning to the world today, since last Christmas, the world has been exposed now for 10 months to a striking contrast between two forms of wartime leadership. Vladimir Putin sits in marble offices in suit and tie, issuing commands to bomb Ukraine into frozen submission. But it is Volodymyr Zelensky who has been the great leader that Putin so longs to be known as. Zelensky, turning down the offer of a ride to escape to safety when the fighting started, dressing as a common soldier, walking among his people, addressing them live every evening, giving them hope. So in which of the two, Putin or Zelensky, do we hear more of an echo of the story of Jesus Christ? It's a wonderful irony worth reflecting on. But while Putin claims with supreme blasphemy and the connivance of a submissive church that he is defending the cause of Jesus Christ in a godless world, it is in fact the secular Jew, Zelensky, God bless him, in whom we see leadership far more obviously in tune with the way of Christ. In the human story, past and present, we occasionally come across inspiring examples like these of a sovereignty that doesn't cling to itself in self-protection, a greatness shown in humility, not issuing commands from a distance, but coming into our midst, sharing the common life. And so we might wonder, even though in the end no human analogy really works when we are speaking of God, couldn't it be that in a similar way, God would show the full extent of his greatness by doing what we could never expect or demand of God, by entering fully into our life? Wouldn't that be the true greatness of God? And the message of Christmas is that God has indeed taken that way of incognito humility, like a disguised king in our midst, to win our hearts. This is how God's greatness works. This is how God's word comes to us. The word became flesh and lived among us. And the word was full of grace and truth. God's word to each of us is Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Now, when we look at our own confused and very imperfect lives, we may be tempted to comment in despair sometimes, "Jesus Christ, my life is a mess." But God's word to each of us is, "In Jesus Christ, I embrace your life, however much of a mess it is, with grace and truth." The grace of God means love beyond anything we could ever possibly deserve or even imagine. The divine love that becomes flesh in Jesus knows all the unflattering truth about us, knows us fully, and yet still loves us. Grace and truth. Jesus is God's word to us, become flesh, seeking us out, God's yes to us. And God waits and hopes for our answering word, our yes, the glad and grateful return of our lives to God.